Welcome to the EmpowerPatientPodcast.com show. I'm Karen Jagoda, and my guest today is Dr. Edith Perez. She's the Chief Medical Officer at Bolt Biotherapeutics. That's boltbio.com. And Edith is a renowned oncologist and cancer researcher. And the topic today is treatments for HER2 cancers and what Bolt is doing to change the current outcomes. So welcome to the show today, Edith. I really appreciate you taking a few minutes to be with us.
A pleasure to be with you and for listeners to join us today.
Thank you. So tell us a little bit about what HER2 cancers are and why they are harder to treat.
No, HER2 is one of the proteins. At the same time, it's one of these genes. So essentially the HER2 protein comes from the HER2 gene. But it's one of these markers that is sometimes overexpressed in many cancers, particularly in breast cancer and gastric or stomach cancer. Although we have identified, when I say we in the medical community have identified that HER2 positivity may also be seen in other tumor types. But again, the two tumor types that are most prevalent in terms of having HER2 positivity are breast and gastric. So approximately 15 to 20% of all breast cancers are what we call HER2 positive, and approximately 5 to 10% of gastric cancers are HER2 positive. So you may ask, what is it? Why is it that these tumors tend to be more aggressive or more difficult to treat? Well, this pathway, the HER2 pathway, is associated with increased cell growth and risk for developing metastases. So these tumors tend to be rather aggressive. On the other hand, it is very good that anti-HER2 treatment started to be developed actually back in the 1990s, with first approvals occurring in 1998. There's obviously a lot to the story that your listeners, I'm sure, are very interested in learning about. And I can just summarize, great drugs have been developed so far. There's much more work that remains to be done, and that's where we at Bolt Biotherapeutics come in.
So tell us what the current challenges are for patients with HER2 cancers, and particularly with respect to their resistance to checkpoint inhibitors.
Yes, so the checkpoint inhibitors work in a different pathway compared to the HER2 pathway. So when we talk about HER2 positive tumors, again, these tumors tend to have extra expression of the HER2 protein in the tumor cell, or they may have extra copies of the HER2 gene. And the medicines that are currently used to target HER2 are pretty specific for that pathway. On the other hand, these are medications that people may know of as trastuzumab, neratinib. There's some drugs that are drug antibody conjugates as a class. So they target HER2. The checkpoint inhibitors modulate the immune system in a totally different way, so different pathway. And what happens in cancers is that the immune system tries to kill the cancers, but at the same time, the immune system is pretty smart and it tries to control itself. So although the immune system tries to be active, it tries to not be active at the same time. So the immune system creates breaks for its activity, and that's where the checkpoint inhibitors come in, because they release some of the breaks that exist in the immune system so that the immune system can kill cancers. But again, there are many different pathways associated with cancer and cancer treatment. So HER2 and the checkpoint inhibitor pathways are very distinct from each other. However, we at Bolt feel that there are ways that we can actually combine both understanding, the biology of cancer and understanding the biology of the immune system to develop strategies that actually allow us to harmonize those two strategies into one treatment for patients. So we're very excited about this strategy.
So that's your Bolt Body platform, and I noticed on your website, your platform is generating systemic immunological memory. So tell us a little bit more about what that Bolt Body platform's enabling you to do.
Well, you know, the mechanism of action of this novel investigational, compound, and it's going to be hopefully more than one compound, but because what we have here is a platform for development of new strategies to treat patients with cancer. So what we're doing is that this molecule allows to combine the anti-tumor activity of drugs that are called monoclonal antibodies along with localized stimulation of the immune system. And as we do this, at least certainly in preclinical models, when we manage the animals with these bolt bodies, we can actually shrink the tumors, we can actually cure tumors in mice. But what happens is that we elicit this so-called immunological memory that you alluded to, which means that if we have the mice that have been cured with our treatment, and then we can reinject the mice with the same tumors they originally had at the beginning, you know, these tumors don't grow, which means that we have essentially taught the immune system to reject the regrowth of these cancers. And that's what we call immunological memory. So you can imagine how enthusiastic we are about taking this approach that we've seen over and over and over in preclinical models into the human setting, because that's where we really want to have a big impact.
And so just to drive home the point about the recurrence of these cancers, these HER2 cancers are prone to recurrence, aren't they?
Yes, because they are really aggressive tumors. So even if we manage them with the classic, you know, surgery, radiation therapy, chemotherapy, they recur. And even with the existing anti-HER2 therapies, many of these patients develop a recurrence. So we need to continue, you know, our focus to develop, you know, strategies to take great science from the laboratories into clinical trials, and we hope into available drugs that will help patients.
So you're working with immune-stimulating antibody conjugates, ISACs, and can you tell us how they improve outcomes from current cancer treatments?
Yeah, very good. This is an outstanding question, and one we've thought of for quite a while. So there are many different ways to treat cancer, and a class of drugs that is very efficacious for many cancers is called monoclonal antibodies. And there are many examples of monoclonal antibodies in the marketplace, and they have had already a major impact on patients' lives. So what the monoclonal antibodies do is that they target abnormal proteins or proteins that are expressed in excess in cancer cells. It happens that HER2 is one of those proteins. So they are monoclonal antibodies against HER2. They're monoclonal antibodies against, you know, many other markers in tumor cells. But if we're going to focus just on the HER2 positive subset of patients, we have these monoclonal antibodies that target HER2. And what we're doing is that we're actually using that monoclonal antibody as part of our strategy, but we're actually combining that monoclonal antibody with a way to stimulate the immune system at the local place. So essentially what we have here in our first bolt body that is now in the clinic is that we have trastuzumab, which is a monoclonal antibody against HER2. And then we combine a trastuzumab with a linker, so it's all in one molecule, with a way to stimulate the immune cells at the local level. In other words, when we inject this medication intravenously, the medication essentially has the monoclonal antibody that will attach to the cancer cell that expresses that abnormal HER2 protein. But along with this molecule, we're bringing a direct stimulator of the immune system, so we can activate the immune system exactly at the place where the cancer is located. So this makes complete sense from the science standpoint. It makes complete sense from the biological standpoint. We've shown that it works in preclinical models, And that's why we are very happy that with the endorsement of the FDA, we've been able to start our first-in-human clinical trial.
And so tell us about how tumors are either cold or hot, and what these ISACs have to do with that.
Okay, very good. The cold and hot tumors refer to the expression of lymphocytes, which are part of the immune system. So essentially, cold tumors have very few visible lymphocytes when we look under the microscope, whereas hot tumors tend to have a lot of these lymphocytes. So what has been shown over the last several years is that hot tumors, these tumors that have already a lot of immune cells, you know, within the area of the cancer, tend to be more sensitive to some of the existing immune modulating drugs, such as the checkpoint inhibitors. But then the cold tumors tend not to respond very well. And one of the things that we are trying to do with our strategy at Bolt is actually to help wake up the immune system, because, you know, we are taking these Bolt bodies, or these immune-stimulating antibody conjugates that get into the tumor area, then they stimulate the immune system right there. Thus, we anticipate that we will be able to make some of these cold tumors essentially become hot, because we're stimulating the immune system right at the place where the cancer is located. This will be a revolutionary strategy. Many people have thought of potential ways of doing this, and we think that the program that we've developed at Bolt, you know, will follow those lines. But we think that our strategy is just beautifully, if I may use this term.
So I just have to ask a rather naive question. Are you changing the tumor, or are you just making the immune cells think that the tumor is hot?
No, well, we're actually changing the immune system. We actually, you know, we are actually stimulating the immune system so that the immune system can be better at recognizing the cancer and ultimately help destroy the cancer cells.
Gotcha. Thank you. So can you tell us a little bit more about the clinical trials that you have going on with your first drug?
Yeah, so we started what we call a phase one trial, in which we are, you know, evaluating safety, or in other words, tolerability, and understanding if we can establish, you know, the correlations of the mechanism of action of our compound with what happens, you know, in the blood specimens of patients. And ultimately, this trial will also allow us to start getting some evidence of efficacy. So we are planning to activate the trials we already have a plan for 14 sites, but we are considering expanding the trial in the United States as well as abroad, so that patients, you know, who are potentially eligible can participate in this what we call, you know, the novel era of combining tumor abnormalities with stimulating the immune system.
So that's, thank you for defining that age that we've entered here. So before I let you go, I just wanted to ask you a little bit about your background and why you're so excited to be working at Bolt.
Well, my background, you know, includes, I must say, you know, growing up with a great family. That was part of my background, which I must include. I did that in Puerto Rico, and then you know, I eventually advanced my career training in Puerto Rico, California. Then I went to Mayo Clinic, and I'm still part of the faculty at Mayo Clinic. And I've been so fortunate to be involved in basic or laboratory research and clinical research nationally and globally for the last 20 years. I also had a period of three times at Genentech to also get the experience and help in the development of strategies, not only to develop agents, but also to think about access of medicines to patients. And I think this comes the full circle. I think Bolt is the right a place for me to be with my intention to leverage all I've learned, all my passion to help patients, and also to take science into the reality of ways to help manage patients with cancer, be fruitful. So I'm very fortunate to be working as part of a great team, a great science, a great collaboration. But I tell you, our focus is ultimately to be able to really have a major impact on patients' lives.
Thanks to my guest today, Dr. Edith Perez, Chief Medical Officer at Bolt Biotherapeutics. That's boltbio.com. Follow them on Twitter at boltbio. I'm Karen Jagoda, and you've been listening to the EmpoweredPatientPodcast.com show. Follow me on Twitter at Karen Jagoda. Like us on Facebook at Empowered Patient Radio. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.